We're Neil and Jody. We've been married 59 years. We may be the oldest people involved in Re-Engage. I don't know. But, you know, two of us started together, and now our family, there's a family picture that'll be up later. There are 17 of us. We have two kids, a son-in-law, daughter-in-law, six grandkids, their spouses, two great-grands, and we love them all. You know, we have found people are drawn to one another because they're different. It's true that opposites attract, but after a while, these differences can drive you nuts. They say opposites attract and often attack.
We were true opposites who spent a lot of years in conflict and disharmony. I grew up in New Orleans with two older brothers, mom and dad, in a very loving family. Our family was only very casual about religion. My mother assured us that everyone went to heaven because God was a God of love. Not to worry. God was like a distant cousin we didn't know much about. As the only princess, I was really spoiled, rotten, by my dad.
I grew up in New England, in a church with a lot of rules, a lot of regulations and rituals, things you had to do to get to heaven and things you could never do if you wanted to get to heaven. But I was an only child, deeply loved and spoiled rotten. Finally, something in common, which is not necessarily the best thing to start your lives out together.
As the princess in my family, at 16, I had a car, a lot of freedom, and one unhealthy relationship with a 22-year-old friend. My parents did not like this guy, but they were afraid to discipline me or speak about it because they thought I might run off and marry him. I wasn't about to do that. No chance. I lost the old boyfriend as I went off to LSU and graduation, and I found another boyfriend whose family was friends with my parents.
That wasn't me either. I transferred from a junior college in back home in Massachusetts and transferred to LSU. And I quickly found the Animal House fraternity. It really was the one they made the movie about, you know. After a pretty wild semester, I struck a bargain with the dean of men. He said, if you'll go away for a while, I'll let you come back. Deal. That worked. I hitchhiked to Miami. I sailed in a big windjammer for a while, and I taught in a native high school in the Bahamas. It was a high time in my life, seeking adventure and the meaning of life. In the fall, I was back at LSU, and I met this cute girl from New Orleans. I loved her southern accent, her poise, and her sense of humor.
It wasn't 6 months before I knew I didn't want to let this weird Yankee out of my sight again. We dated all year until Neil left for California the next summer to spend time with some sailing buddies. And we wrote to each other every day, every single day. Each of us got a letter. When we both got back to LSU, we spent a lot of time together, and we became pregnant. The spoiled princess was given a big wedding on October 31st, Halloween.
Somehow or another appropriate. You know, we thought we'd have anniversary parties disguised as Halloween parties, but we spent the next 12 years trick-or-treating. So.
Neil graduated a couple of months later, and we headed to New York City with no money, no job, and expecting. I was excited, but a bit nervous about making it in the Big Apple. Conflicts began. I was home, and Neil was starting a career, and I didn't have any friends in New York or any relatives or any job. It was pretty bad. And I was home, and Neil was busy starting his career. I had no friends, family, or world. He arrived home to a bored, anxious, neurotic mess. He had friends and would go out with them occasionally, which didn't help. I spent a lot of time walking Manhattan, cooking, and watching TV. Lack of money was a big issue.
Yeah. Well, I started making more money on Madison Avenue in the world of advertising. Life got easier, but also more stressful. Our son was born 2.5 years after our daughter, and we enjoyed the fun of New York. But conflict was inevitable for two spoiled people, self-centered, under the same roof. Well, after 4 years, we decided to move to New Orleans so I could pursue graduate school and give our kids a regular childhood with dogs and grass and warm weather all year long. A lot of that comfortable income disappeared, and Jody got stressed again, now surrounded by friends that had already planted themselves into nice homes and good schools and careers. While in grad school, I started working for New Orleans Magazine and then formed an ad agency there with some friends.
Still, there was no God in our life. Church was for weddings and funerals. When our youngest started preschool, I went to work with a friend who had a real estate firm. Money was my pursuit because that meant security to me. And over the next 10 years, we both did very well. Neil's agency became one of the biggest agencies in Louisiana, and I became a broker working in commercial real estate. Our lives moved in different directions, with both of us finding fulfillment in work and extramarital affairs. Although it came with some shame and guilt, we continued, neither of us knowing what the other one was doing.
You know, at this point, I was a partner in an ad agency with clients all over the South, did a lot of political work, worked with the governor, worked with the president of the United States, owned a magazine and a company, both companies in the same building. We bought the building. So I was the maker in the center of the universe, or so I thought. But when the Arab oil embargo hit, the economy collapsed into a big recession, and we lost a lot of money.
This was the last straw, and we separated. The kids were devastated, and I was wondering how I was going to manage on what I was making without Neil. The kids had started going to a Bible church with my brother and my mom and dad, and they wanted us to come. We had declined. It was full of those born-again believers that we were hearing all about.
You know, we both loved the kids. And after a few months apart, we both felt the need to try and save our marriage. The kids asked Jody if I could come over for Christmas Eve. And the kids, then later, they said, could I be there for Christmas morning? Well, we put the kids to bed and we had a long, long talk. I had a small gift for Jody, which I gave her. It was a wedding ring for me to wear. I had never worn one before. I told her if she ever wanted us to try and get back together again, she could give it to me at that point. We continued talking for a long time. We ended up confessing that we'd been unfaithful to one another. It was a surprise to each of us. But we ended up forgiving one another. I thought that we had built our marriage on the wrong foundation, and going to church as a family might help. So we began going with the rest of Jody's family. Oh yeah, she did give me that wedding ring to wear.
The church was growing, and they hired me to put some land together for them to build on. I would be the only broker they were working with, and I was assured of some real income. As I worked with my brother on the properties, he would present them to their board as their attorney. He often shared his faith with me. One day in his office, he leaned across his desk and he said, if you got out of here and one of those big 18-wheelers went over you on the way home, would you know you were going to heaven? I said, hey, Sean, would you know that? He said, yes, I would. Oh, I said, then don't worry, babe, because if you get in, they're bound to let me in. And he said, let me just share a couple of verses with you, and I want you to think about it on your way home next to those big, big trucks. And he shared Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as the result of works, so no one can boast." Well, now that's good. I've got to go. But arriving home that day, I thought that was too good a deal to pass up, and I decided to put my faith and my trust in Jesus.
I was the first person Jody shared her newfound faith with, but I didn't have what Jody had. And months later, as we were driving to church one morning, I was feeling pretty skeptical. We had had a fight the day before. Don't remember what it was about, but I thought we might be heading for a crash again. And if we did crash, I didn't know how we'd fix it. The week before, I had heard that the great jazz pianist, Dave Brubeck, maybe remember his hit, Take Five? I'd heard that Dave Brubeck would be playing in the church, and I didn't want to miss it, even if it meant driving all the way there with you-know-who. But we got there early, and the pastor walked out, followed by a young guy carrying a guitar, and he introduced Dave Brubaker, whoever he was. I was stuck. I had to admit, though, after he sang a few songs, that he was pretty good. And then he sang one song about God being the master potter, the master sculptor, working in our lives. It really hit me. I had written a short story in college called The Lump of Clay. It was an allegory about my own life, how I would shape myself to be what I wanted to be. Like Sinatra, I was going to do it my way. That was my life. You know, I grew up in the 60s, where everything changed. It's kind of like this time in American history, isn't it? The world seems a little bit crazy sometimes. That time, it was the beginning of birth control pills, freedom for everyone to do whatever they wanted, the Playboy sexual revolution. I could do anything. It was all about me. I was self-centered. I did love Jody, and I loved the kids, but not as much as I loved me. I had no counterbalance for that kind of thinking. In the middle of this song, God touched my heart. I realized that I had fallen short of the Master's plans, but while I was still a sinner, Christ had died for me, saved me from my penalty for my sins. I was 37 back then. That morning, I trusted Jesus to finish the job that he started when he created me, and I really began the greatest adventure of my life. I used to think I was a work of art. Then I found out I was just a piece of work. Now I know I'm a work in progress in the Master's hands.
It wasn't just being in a good church. It was Jesus. One of our favorite Bible verses is 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 16. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we are, the worst of them all. But God had mercy on us so that Christ could use us as an example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and have eternal life. Since then, we've taken a lot of trails in our marriage, through many different ministries, attending Campus Crusades Family Life Conference, A Weekend to Remember. We've been a dozen times and served as chair couple in Louisiana for 5 years, and we learned a lot about fixing our marriage.
We also got a lot of personal counseling from people like Larry Crabb and others that he had trained. We moved to Dallas when I turned 50 to attend Dallas Seminary. I graduated and have been serving in several churches and ministries ever since. I've done a lot of pastoral counseling over the years, which is amazing, and I still do some. 12 years ago, we started a ministry to help train church leaders in Africa and China and provide them with some solid biblical materials.
But, yeah. We also joined Watermark about a dozen years ago or so and re-engaged community and legacy. In regeneration, I learned a lot about myself and how I contributed to our imbalance with anger, control, and insecurity.
I tell you, we love re-engage. If you're just starting here tonight thinking about it, I think you'll love it too. It's made our marriage even better than we expected. We learned some great things. You know, be honest, work on yourself, stay in your own circle.
With regen and re-engage under my belt, I became less critical, and we learned to work out our pattern of learning to hear each other with grace, to resolve conflicts, and offer forgiveness. Good communication leads to understanding. I've learned to love and respect my husband more.
It takes commitment. Be diligent.
It's a process. You have to be diligent.
Always move towards oneness. Develop good habits. Be diligent about it. And most of all, remember that God invented marriage. He wants yours to reflect his best plan. He loves you. I never knew I could love Jody as much as I love her now.
Do you know how much I have to pay him to say that?
Before we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we looked for security and significance in all the wrong places. But our security is really in Jesus. He will never leave you. And your significance is now measured by the value, the price paid for you. The very life of the King of Kings ransomed you. You can trust him. From your first time in re-engage to being in open groups and through all the sessions in your closed groups, it's going to be some of the best months of your marriage. Enjoy it. It's a gift from your King. Thanks for being here with us.